Again, our text today, Matthew chapter 6, verses 22 to 23. Let us now hear the words of our Lord. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for your grace to keep our feet from every evil way, to refrain from the paths of sin, that we might keep your word, that we might obey and honor the word of God, that we might be faithful to you, Lord, in our lives, in how we use money, and how we use the resources and material things that you entrust to our care. We know, Lord, there's great danger of our hearts being bound up with treasure here on earth. And so we pray that you would bless this sermon, Lord, that we might be a more generous people, that we might be a more unselfish people, that we might be a people whose treasure is in heaven. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope you're familiar with Charles Dickens' great novel, A Christmas Carol. If you haven't read the novel, I'm sure you've seen it in a movie, or whether that's a cartoon or with real live actors or something like that. But if you haven't, you surely know the character of Ebenezer Scrooge. He's the one who hates Christmas. And when faced and confronted with Christmas and joy and all these sorts of things, his characteristic phrase is "Bah, humbug." At the very beginning of the book, Mr. Scrooge is described, and I want you to listen to how he's described. Nobody ever stopped him in the street, that is Mr. Scrooge, to say with gladsome looks, "My dear Scrooge, how are you? When will you come to see me?" No beggars implored him to bestow a trifle. No children asked him what it was o'clock, that is to say, what time it was. No man or woman ever once in all of his life inquired the way to such and such a place of Scrooge. Even the blind men's dogs appeared to know him, and when they saw him coming on, would tug their owners into doorways and up courts, and then would wag their tails as though they said, "No eye at all is better than an evil eye." Mr. Scrooge provides this illustration of what Jesus is talking about here in Matthew 6, 22 to 23. We're going to talk today about your eye. What does that mean when Jesus directs us to think about our eye and whether our eye is single or whether our eye is evil? The point today hopefully will be a simple one, and that is that we should seek to be spiritually focused and materially generous. We'll talk first about the role of the eye and the metaphor that Jesus is using here to teach a lesson. It's in verse 22. The eye is the lamp of the body. Then number two, we'll talk about a good eye and the function that it serves. It fills the whole body with light. It's in verse 22 as well. Then we'll talk about the converse of that, the bad eye, the evil eye that fills the body with darkness. And that's in verse 23. Okay, you remember hopefully from last time that in verse 19 we began a new section in the Sermon on the Mount. Here at the end of chapter 6, Jesus has shifted his topic slightly, although there's a similar emphasis in the second half of the chapter as there is in the first half of the chapter. But Jesus is nevertheless focusing now on our attitude toward wealth and material things, toward money and possessions. And that focus continues on through the rest of the chapter from verse 19 to verse 34. We are considering, first of all, verses 19 through 24. We started last week with verses 19 to 21, and there Jesus taught us about our treasure. Where is your treasure? Where is it located? Is it located here on the earth? That is to say, is it found in money and possessions? Or is it located in heaven? That is to say, is your treasure spiritual? Is the treasure you have and you are storing up a spiritual kind of treasure? So we looked at that last week and we considered our treasure. Here in these next two verses, Jesus wants us to consider our eyes. That is to say, what we are focused on, what we are intent upon, what our ambition is in life. That's in our text today. Next week, we'll talk about our master. So you see these three things here in verses 19 to 24. We talk about our treasure, we talk about our eye, and then next week we'll talk about our master. Who is it? Is it God or money? Now, if you read Matthew 6, 22 to 23 by itself, let's say you were reading a devotional book or devotional magazine or something like that, and you read these two verses, you might come away and scratch your head a little bit and say, wow, Jesus seems to be talking in riddles. This is an enigma that Jesus gives us here, like a riddle, a puzzle for us to figure out. What could Jesus mean by talking about our eye and whether our eye is single or good or whether our eye is evil or wicked? And we must do something very important, and I hope you'll see that today, and I hope this helps you in your Bible reading. So when you read your Bible or you study your Bible, it's important for you to remember context. It's important for you to remember what comes before and what comes after. Now, there are certain parts of the Bible where you can consider it by itself and should do so. The book of Proverbs is an example of that. These statements that stand on their own, and you can understand them without really considering the statement before and the statement after. But for the most part, in the rest of Scripture, statements like verses 22 and 23 have a context. That is to say, there's something that came before, there's something that came after. With this statement that Jesus makes, what has he been talking about? What has he been teaching us here in this passage? And when you think about that, I think it takes the enigma away. It takes the mystery away somewhat of what Jesus is talking about here in verses 22 and 23. What has Jesus been talking about? Well, in verses 19 to 21, he has talked about our treasure. He has talked about our attitude and accumulation of either earthly things, earthly money or possessions, or heavenly things. So what is Jesus focused on there? He's focused on the ideas of wealth and materialism and calling us to make sure that our focus and the direction of our life is toward laying up treasure in heaven and not on the earth. That is to say, we're to be focused not on building up our bank accounts. We're to be focused on doing good works before God and for other people. Okay, what does Jesus talk about in verse 24? No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon or money. So sandwiched in between these two statements is verses 22 and 23. So what do you think verses 22 and 23 are about? It's about something very, very similar. It's the same basic thought that Jesus here is teaching in verses 19 through 24. He is teaching us about money, material things, possessions, and the focus of our lives and how we think about and relate to these things. Okay, so now let's consider the illustration or the metaphor here in our passage, verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. Okay, let's think about what that means. The word translated light, at least in the King James, is the word for lamp. In the ancient world, you would have like a bowl with something like, you know, fluid oil in it that you'd have a wick down in that and you would light that and that would be your source of light in your home. It would be your lamp, so to speak. We found one of those at the thrift store the other day. It was a lamp. And you put kerosene in it, if I'm not mistaken, and it had this wick, and that was a lamp. Well, that's the idea here. The eye of the body is the light or the lamp of the body. It is what provides direction. It's what receives the light and ultimately guides the body. The last time this word was used, it was used in reference to the disciples themselves and their witness. Matthew 5:15. Nor do they light a lamp, same word, and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. So when you see the light of the body is the eye, think the eye is the lamp. It's the source of light and illumination for the body. Or we could also say that the eye, in serving as that organ which takes in the light and provides illumination for the body, serves as the guide for the body. If your eyes are not functioning properly, then your whole body, so to speak, is in darkness. You're not able to see where you're going, see what's in front of you, and see the path that you are to walk in. So the eye serves as a guide. You can think of going into a dark room in your home and flipping the switch or turning the knob, and the lamp comes on, and what does it do? It illuminates the room. It provides light. It provides illumination so that you can see. That's the idea. If you open your eyes, what do you get? You get light. The light comes in and you're able to see where you're going. If you close your eyes, what do you get? Darkness. Instantly the light, what? It goes out. It's snuffed. And you just see darkness, so to speak. Well, that's the idea behind this first statement here. The light of the body is the eye. The eye serves as the lamp, as the organ that takes in the light, that receives the light and provides illumination and direction for the rest of the body. You can also think of this, and should think of this, as something spiritual that Jesus is talking about here. And we'll explain this more as we go along. When Jesus says the light of the body is the eye, in the ancient world, people thought about putting your eye on something as fixing your attention on it, as that's where your focus is. That's where your ambition or your attitude, your disposition is, what you have your eyes focused on. So you can think of eye literally and physically as that thing that focuses on something, and spiritually as that inner attitude, that inner focus of your life, your disposition, we might say. Okay, so there's the basic idea. The eye serves as the lamp of the body, both physically and spiritually, using eye as a metaphor for our intention, for our focus internally. Now let's take the positive point that Jesus makes in verse 22, and then we'll move on to the negative point that he makes in verse 23. First of all, the positive point, verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Let's think about the word single. What does Jesus mean by if your eye is single? All right, we're going to think about this on a few different levels. First of all, let's think about it physically. We think about it physically in terms of an eye being sound or healthy or clear. If your eyes are functioning properly, if they're working well, if they're single in that sense, then your whole body is given this illumination. You can see where you're going. You can see what to focus on. You can see what to avoid. You can see the path that you need to walk. So there's that idea. If you have blurry vision and you don't have the ability to focus on an object with your eyes, then it impedes what you need to do, right? I remember when I was a kid, I was in the fifth grade, I think, and one of the greatest calamities of my life up to that point was that I realized I needed glasses. So I'm sitting in the back of the classroom, and Mrs. Doodlehopper is at the board explaining this, that, and the other thing, and I'm thinking, I can't see any of that. I have no idea what she's putting on that board. And eventually I started to fall behind, and the teacher realized it and said, I think in front of everybody, do you need glasses? Which I didn't appreciate at the time. But anyway, I did. My eyes were not healthy, were not able to focus clearly on those things on the board. Okay, so I hope that gives you the kind of the physical idea of the metaphor here, the illustration. However, you know that Jesus is not talking about optometry. Jesus is not teaching us or giving us a lesson in the eye doctor. and the physical health of your eyes or lack thereof. So what is he talking about? Well, this word single on a moral or spiritual level means undivided, simple or sincere. It's a way of speaking of loyalty. If your eye is single, that is to say it is singularly focused on something. Its attention is not divided between this and that, but it is focused properly on one particular object. When you come to someone and you see them staring at something, what question do you ask them? You ask them, what are you looking at? Why do you ask them that? Because they're focused. They are singularly focused. Their undivided attention, we might say, is upon this thing that their eyes are fixed upon. So when Jesus says, if your eye is single, what he is saying is, if the focus and affection of your heart is undivided, but is singularly focused on what? On God. And on laying up treasure in heaven that he has just been speaking of. Jesus is teaching us, first of all, about our focus and aim in life. Think about how these two things were contrasted in verses 19 to 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Those are two different things to focus on, right? Those are two different ways of living in which one's attention is focused on two very different things. We have someone whose eye is fixed on laying up treasure on the earth, making money, getting possessions, and accumulating material things. On the other side, we've got someone whose eye is fixed on the Lord, on his relationship with God, and loving his neighbor, and he is focused on laying up treasure where? In heaven. He is singularly focused and loyal toward God and toward this pursuit of laying up treasure in heaven. John Calvin puts it this way. The substance of the present statement is that men go wrong through carelessness because they do not keep their eye fixed as they ought to do on the proper object. What is the proper object? It's God and it's his kingdom. Right? Or Augustine, the church father. We know that all our works are pure and pleasing in the sight of God if they are performed with a single heart. This means that they are performed out of charity and with an intention that is fixed on heaven. For love is the fulfillment of the law. Therefore, in this passage, we ought to understand the eye as the intention with which we perform all our actions. See the idea there. The idea is that of focus, attention, attitude of one's life. What does Jesus want us to be focused on? He wants us to be focused on spiritual things. He wants us to be focused on our relationship with God and loving and helping our neighbor. It's very, very similar. It's a different way of talking about what Jesus said in verse 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Okay? The person whose eye is fixed on material things is the person whose treasure is here in this life with money and possessions and these sorts of things. The person whose eye is fixed on the Lord and his relationship with God and with helping his neighbor is the person whose heart is in heaven, whose heart is concentrating upon the right things, spiritual things. Okay, so now we see that when Jesus says, if your eye is single, he's talking about undivided attention, commitment to the Lord, but in what specific way? Now we need to think about specifics here in this passage. We can talk generally about how Jesus wants us to be 100% committed to the Lord, to his kingdom, etc. But what specific area is Jesus dealing with in this passage? He's dealing with this. He's talking about money. To have a single eye is to have a generous eye. That's the other layer of meaning that is here in this word and in how Jesus is using it. There's a similar word in the Greek language that means giving or generous, and it's used in 2 Corinthians 8:2. Paul says that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. Liberality doesn't have anything to do with Democrats there. It has everything to do with being generous, giving, and particularly of material things. Now, you might be wondering, why did Pastor Nick do that weird thing and have Mr. Mike read two different Proverbs in six chapters apart? It's because Proverbs gives us the Old Testament background for what Jesus is talking about here in Matthew 6, 22 to 23. Let's think about the single eye, the good eye. Okay, listen to Proverbs 22, 9 again. He who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor. You see what the idea is there? The person who is generous and giving wants to help the poor and the less fortunate. This is the person who has what kind of eye? He has a generous eye. He has a look that is looking for someone to help, looking for someone to give to, looking for someone to open his wallet to, so to speak. So when Jesus speaks of having a single eye, here in the context, he's talking about generosity, about opening your hand to those in need. Again, it's parallel to laying up treasures for yourself in heaven. To have a single eye is to have a generous eye, is to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. When you do this, Jesus says, when your focus is singular and devoted to God and giving to others, end of verse 22, your whole body will be full of light. Now, this is true in a physical level, right? If your eye is healthy and sound, then it provides the illumination that your body needs to know where you're going. But of course, Jesus is talking about spiritual matters here. He's talking about having the right intention and focus in life. And when you have that, your whole life is filled with what kind of light? The spiritual light, which serves in the Bible as a symbol for God's truth, God's goodness, and God's righteousness. So when Jesus talks about having a single or a generous eye, he's also teaching us about our spiritual health and how our spiritual health is directly connected to our generosity. Now, I admit that maybe we don't always think of it that way. If you were to ask yourself, is my life filled with God's light, the light of God's truth and goodness and righteousness? You might be tempted to answer that question by looking at, for example, how much you know. And say, I know my Bible really well, and therefore my life is filled with God's light. Now, is that true? Yes, hopefully it is true. However, do we look at ourselves and how much we give, and how generous we are with other people as an indication of how much of God's light has filled our life? Maybe not. Maybe it's not a way we're used to thinking about. But here Jesus makes the connection between giving and being generous and just how much light is in our life, whether our lives are filled with God's light or not. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in Romans 12, 8. Or he that exhorts on exhortation, he that gives, let him do it with simplicity. That word means a singular focus, a sincere, undivided heart. Okay, so there's the positive side. Jesus is here teaching us about having an eye that is focused on God. And an eye that is focused on God is going to be focused upon generosity and helping the poor and the less fortunate and giving rather than accumulating. Now let's look at the other side, the bad eye, the evil eye, verse 23. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. Now here's the negative point that Jesus makes. Jesus says if your eye is single, if your eye is focused, clear, and sound, you get a certain result. If your eye is evil, you get the opposite result. Now let's think about the different layers of this. Think about it on a physical level first. If your eye is diseased or bad in physical sense, then what happens? It cannot provide the body with the illumination and the guidance that it needs. Or you think about the person who is blind, whose eyes do not function properly. What does it do? It plunges them into darkness physically. Now Jesus, of course, is making a spiritual point here, and the word rendered evil means exactly that, wicked, bad, sinful. So Jesus says, if your eye is evil or wicked, then a certain thing will result. Jesus says in Mark 7, listen to this list he gives, and maybe something that I hadn't noticed before, but now I notice it. Mark 7. For from within, Jesus says, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness. Now we're familiar with those things, but listen to the next item in the list. An evil eye. Where does an evil eye come from? Jesus says it comes from here. It comes from the heart. Blasphemy, pride, and foolishness, Jesus goes on to say. So the idea here is that of a person who has a wicked eye. Not physically, but again, what are we talking about? We're talking about his attitude, his disposition, the state of his heart, we might say. So if a single eye is a generous eye, what is a bad or an evil eye? It's the opposite, right? It's the person who is greedy. It's the person who is covetous. It's the person who is stingy. That's the idea behind an evil eye. Now again, listen to the other proverb that Mike read for us this morning. Proverbs 28:22. A man with an evil eye, there it is again. A man with an evil eye, what does he do? He hastens after riches and does not consider that poverty will come upon him. Another passage, Proverbs 23. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath a what? An evil eye. What is the proverb talking about? It's talking about this selfish, greedy, materially focused person. This person who is focused on money and wealth and possessions. Let me give you a few more examples here. In Deuteronomy 15, the Lord is warning his people. He's warning his people about their attitude and their actions when they come into the land. Listen to how he puts it. Deuteronomy 15:9. Beware lest there be a wicked thought in your heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release is at hand, and your eye be evil against your poor brother, and you give him nothing, and he cry out to the Lord against you, and it becomes sin among you. What is the Lord talking about there? He's talking about stinginess. He's talking about greed. So here you have this time that should be forgiven for opening your wallet and helping your fellow Israelite. And the Lord says, you beware lest you have an evil eye. What is an evil eye? It's looking at your brother and coming up with excuses to not help, to not give, and to be greedy and stingy. Or a New Testament example, Matthew 20, Jesus tells this parable of the workers, right? And this worker is taken in and sent out into the place to work at a certain time of day. And then the master goes out at a different time of day, finds some other workers. And you've got these guys who started working at different times. And after the master pays everybody, there's some people who are upset. They're upset about how this was conducted. And listen to what Jesus says, Matthew 20:15. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? You see it again? There it is again. The idea of the evil eye. Has anybody ever given you the evil eye? Or we might say, the stink eye. Sure. If you're young and you haven't experienced the stink eye, you will at some point. It's that look. That mean look. Right? Well, we laugh about that. That's kind of funny, right? But Jesus is talking about not so much how your eyes look or what your face looks like. He's talking about your heart. He's talking about your attitude. The person who is stingy and greedy and hoards is the person who has an evil eye. It's the person who looks at his brother and disdains him and says, I will not give. I will not open my wallet. I will not share. I will not help. That's the person who has an evil eye. It's the same person who is focused on amassing earthly treasure. The same individual. Different way of looking at it. Different angle. The person who's laying up treasures on the earth is the person who has an evil eye. He's got this selfish, covetous disposition of the heart. Have you ever thought about just how spiritually detrimental and dangerous it is to be stingy, to be greedy, to be focused on you and what you want and what you need, and turn a blind eye to other people and what they may need and the help that they may need? Now, there was a problem with me using Ebenezer Scrooge at the beginning of today's sermon. Do you know what it was? Everybody looks at Ebenezer Scrooge and says what? Whew. Glad I'm not him. Right? He's like the extreme version of it. Right? You picture Ebenezer sitting at his desk, and old Bob Cratchit over there is freezing to death, and he's counting his coins. You know, looking them over, make sure they're whole, and, you know, he's got an evil eye. He is intent on his money. Right? Or you picture some man sitting atop his treasure hoard, and he sits in a dark room counting his coins, his gold and his silver. And we say, oh, praise the Lord, I thank you that I am not as other men are. And that's the danger, isn't it? You say, Pastor, I'm not rich. This can't be me. This isn't for me. This is for other people. This is for all those people with big houses and fancy cars and big bank accounts. It's not for me. I'm just poor, humble, whoever. I don't have much money in my bank account. But brothers and sisters, you know that no matter how much money you have, how many things you have, you could still be greedy. You could still be stingy. Your wallet can still creak when you go to open it. You know, you don't want to, I don't want to give that. Right? Stinginess and greed and covetousness and being focused on material things in this life is not just a problem for rich people, it's a problem for poor people as well. Some poor people spend their whole lives thinking about how they want to be rich. And rich people spend their whole lives thinking about how they can get more rich and how they can get even more. So don't take yourself out of the equation here. Okay? I have not. I asked the Lord last week, Lord, show me. Show me how I am actually doing this. How I am laying up treasures on the earth rather than in heaven. And so I asked the same thing this week. Lord, show me if I've got the evil eye. If I've got a greedy heart. A selfish heart. And sometimes, maybe you don't even realize you have it until something happens. Has that ever happened to you? You're living your life and something comes up. And you see it. You see this sinful selfishness and greed emerge from your heart. And you think, oh no, I didn't think I was that way. I didn't think I was that kind of person. Well, let's just all face facts. We are that kind of person. Because we're sinners, we're naturally selfish. We're naturally hoarders. We want to keep it for us. We don't want to give it away. We want to keep it for me, myself, and I. Even if we've only got a little of it. There's a danger in it. Jesus says, if your eye is evil, what is the result? The result is darkness. Verse 23 again. Verse 23, but if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of what? Darkness. The stingy, greedy man, the Ebenezer Scrooge, so to speak, it's not just that he's greedy. His whole life is filled with darkness. Not physical darkness, spiritual darkness. Error, sin. This is what fills the life of that kind of person. Have you ever been afraid of being in a dark place and the light's going out? Have you ever been afraid just for a moment and thought, wow, what would life be like if I were blind? If the light suddenly went out one day and I no longer had that light? It is a fearful thing. But do we fear this kind of darkness? Do we fear the spiritual darkness that the person lives in who is wrapped up in money and things? May God give us grace to not be that kind of person. Jesus concludes here with this final statement in verse 23. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? What does Jesus mean by that? Well, here you've got the attitude and intention of the person, right? Whether they're focused on earth or heaven. And that's the place where there should be light. Here, inside. But this person, the person who has an evil eye, from the very root inside them, is this wrong focus and wrong attitude toward life and possessions and other people. And that is a great darkness. That is the worst kind of darkness. The person who should have this focus on God and on his neighbor, instead he is completely consumed with material things and money. That person is submerged in darkness, and that's the worst kind of darkness that there could possibly be. In addition to that, I think you can also see Jesus' statement here as meaning something akin to the person who has this inner focus on riches and material possessions and actually thinks that's a good thing, actually thinks that's how life should be lived, that person is submerged in the worst kind of darkness. You see, in Jesus' day, people thought, and they still think this way, people thought that riches were where it was at. That signaled God's blessing. That necessarily meant this person was under the favor of God because they had a lot of money. They had a lot of possessions. Remember, Jesus has to tell his disciples later on, when the rich young ruler turns away sorrowful, what did Jesus tell him to do? Give it up. Give it up, sell all you have, and give it to the poor. Come follow me. He doesn't want to do it. He's sad at that. What are the disciples' reaction to that? It's not, amen. It's not that. They're shocked. They're surprised. Why were they surprised? They're surprised because of how they thought. They thought, man, this is where the blessing of God is. Lots of money and earthly possessions. And here's this person who has it. And Jesus asked them to give it all up. And then you remember what Jesus said. It's difficult. It is nigh impossible for the rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because it's got a hold on his heart. And for people in those days and for people in our day who actually take covetousness and greed and baptize it and make it look good, Make it look like wisdom. Make it look like the right thing to do before God. Perhaps therein lies our greatest danger. For us to actually be laying up treasures on earth and say, oh, well, I'm being wise. I'm being prudent in God's sight. But don't misunderstand me. We talked before about the importance of saving, right? There's a biblical idea of saving and of having money to live and to give, right? But there's a very subtle difference between that and between amassing things for your own personal security or in absence of giving and helping other people. That kind of life is a dark life. It's a life not filled with God's light. It's a life filled with darkness. So now here's the question that I will ask myself and you today and next week and probably again in the days to come. What is your relationship to money? What is your relationship to material possessions and things? What hold does it have on your heart? Are you laying up treasure in heaven? Is your eye single, focused on God and generous with others? Or are you laying up treasure on the earth and is your eye evil? And you are focused on yourself and not on generosity. We have need to pray that God would give us spiritual illumination, that He would open our eyes to the true riches, to the true treasures in life. And they're not made out of gold and silver. I know that is hard, isn't it? It's very hard to actually believe that and live like it. To believe and actually live in such a way that your heart and your treasure is in heaven. That your eyes are singularly focused upon God and spiritual things. May we pray with the Apostle Paul that the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we would know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints really is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this portion of Your word today. Oh Lord, this is a word that we need to hear. We live in a country with a good deal of financial prosperity. We go home to a great many things, most of us today, maybe all of us. And these things can get a serious grip on our hearts. Our eye can be focused on money and wealth and material possessions. And we need Your help, Lord. We need Your grace to focus our eyes on the kingdom of heaven. To focus our attention on the true riches that is found in loving God, in serving God, and in loving and helping our neighbor. We pray that You would help us to be the kind of people who has a single eye, a good eye, a generous eye. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As you leave today, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.